Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the series that we've just completing. And Lord, let us be attentive to your word. Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us this morning, that you would encourage us, uplift us, strengthen us. And Lord God, we look for that unction to be obedient to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning. So as Dom mentioned in the beginning, this was the last part of our series, Made for Mission. A couple of weeks ago when Carmichael preached, I was like, dude, stop. You've already taken half of my scriptures. And he preached on, if you don't remember, was multiplication for mobilization. And then last week, Kevin preached on limited by location. And of course, the point of that was, wherever we have the moment, we got to seize it and not be limited by it and take hold of everything we have to do. And so today I want to speak on multiply yourself. The point I want to, is not so much just families, but spiritually, we want to multiply ourselves spiritually. Why? Because it is a biblical mandate. And as we go through scripture today, we're going to have a look and see how we are called through God in scripture to multiply ourselves. You know that God is not about addition. God is about multiplication. Amen. And when we talk about that, the point I make that is, if I lead someone to the Lord, I meet someone, I talk to them, and then there's me plus one was two, then it doesn't mean my job's done. Now that person's got to go do their job. It means that the two of us now, we can go out and minister the gospel. And what happens? That's four. And so I've said this before, if each one of us in 1 year just brought one person to the church, we'd be planting churches very soon. And that's exciting. That's kingdom. That's what excites my heart. Now, some of you might have said, well, we try to stay away from the word evangelism, because when we say the word evangelism, you all get like staring like cows at a gate in the storm. You're like, because you have some bad ideas about evangelism. But this is all about multiplication, the kingdom mandate, and what God wants us to do in our lives. And if you ever wanted to do a program for evangelism, this is the seventh week of that program. And it's the last one. And you know, we're not a program-driven church. Anyway, so let's move on, because I can pontificate for the rest of the morning on that whole introduction. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors. This is Paul writing to young Timothy. With a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, and as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, and through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That's an amazing piece of scripture. And the point here is, it says, guard the deposit that's already been entrusted to you, young Timothy. Especially you young guys sitting in the row here, and anywhere else young guys and gals are sitting. This is a good part of this word for you today. It says, I thank God that I serve him as did the generations before me. Now, I know some of us haven't been that fortunate to have generations to serve us, because you are probably maybe first generation Christian today. And your heritage might not be. But I'm going to show you something this morning that I thought was so cool and was exciting, because our family didn't grow up, by and large, in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, I suppose, from many points that my family was fairly dysfunctional. But that doesn't mean I get to be dysfunctional. That doesn't mean the family that I have is dysfunctional. It doesn't mean if my mom and dad, and they did eventually, I mean, my mom served the Lord for many, many years. My dad was a very late bloomer, but they're both in heaven now with Jesus. Praise God for that. But the point is that for many years it wasn't that way. My dad was a real man's man, and if you didn't play sport, there was something wrong with you. And boys who played piano and tennis, there was something wrong with you. And that was just my dad. And cowboys don't cry. And so that was, when I say he was a man's man, that's what he meant. And but didn't mean he was right, of course. I'm just saying. He says, I recognize the same faith, Timothy, young Timothy, that has been passed down by your generation of Lois and then Eunice and Timothy, that this faith dwells in you. And in a sense, it is not truly three generations, but truly also spiritually, it's four generations. Because Paul calls Timothy my son in the faith. He's saying, I've taught you these things. I laid hands on you. I was there. I witnessed when the Holy Spirit came upon you and everything that was in you was revived and came to life. And also, by the way, your Lois and Eunice and you as well, Timothy. And then he says, fan into flame the gift in you. Now, you know, there's some things God doesn't do for us. Oh, you mean if I just say, oh, Lord, fan the gift in me into flame, it'll all work out like osmosis? No. When we get excited about something, when we get passionate about something, that's fanning the flame. When we get, as I think Dom said this morning, when we get passionate about the lost, when we see a dying world around us, when we see the devastation and the destruction around us, and we call out to God. My mother prayed for me for 20 years, called out to God, and she was rewarded. I prayed for my brother for about 15 or 16 years. And he had all the little kids, the big kids, but he didn't have all the little kids. He was a bit of a reprobate, actually. And some of you know his testimony. And I prayed and called and cried out to God. And it took 15, 17 years for him to come round and to hear the voice of God. And the point I'm making, people, is don't give up. Yeah, I love the... Excuse me. I love playing for people and seeing them healed. But a great testimony is Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, if you've ever read his biography, he prayed for 1,000 people before the first one got healed. Well, I prayed for this one, and I prayed again next week, and then I prayed again next week, and nothing happened. So, okay, I just gave up. No? He prayed for 1,000 people to get healed before the first one actually got healed. I'm telling you, that's called digging deep. That's fanning the gift into you. That's called going for. When we pray, oh Lord, fan the gift in me, that's the wrong prayer. How about, Lord, thank you for the gift that is in me. I choose to fan it into flame. I'm going to be obedient to you, Jesus. I'm going to go forth and do what you've called me to do. This all comes from God. Jesus, God gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Well, everything's out of control. I don't know what to do. No, that's not the spirit you have. Those are your emotions that are running amok with you. And we all have emotions, and sometimes they do run amok. 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Oh, so it's just not all about what I'm going to do. No. God is a blessing God to the third and fourth generations. Wayne, Bridget and I, and some of you have heard this, when we were coming to Canada, we were like so excited. We were coming originally to go and plant a church in Kingston. And there's a long story about why we're in Kingston Road, not in Kingston City. But anyway, here we are. But the Lord said, oh, by the way, before you get too excited about yourself and how smart you think you are and how gifted you think you are, let me just tell you something. I'm sending you to build for the third and fourth generation. And I will say, well, now I know that, God, I'm okay. And I'm trusting. Jesus, you will build your church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we will stand with that and move forward with that. He says, Timothy, my young spiritual son, be strengthened by the grace, by the charisma, by the gifting which comes from Jesus to you. That is the word he's passing on. Listen, the things I've passed on to you. Listen, the things that I've taught you. Listen, the things that I want you to take and to teach them to reliable men who will teach it to others. Trigenerational. This is not just, do you remember Bridget preached sinners saved, what, saved sinners to save sinners? Something like that. That's the point. We got to just keep doing and multiplying and going forth and being gracious and lifting up Jesus. He's saying, Paul, to Timothy, to reliable men, and to others as well. Generations, live your life, live our lives generationally. And we might not even know what that looks like. Or perhaps right now not even understand it. But I'm trusting that people's lives that I touch will touch somebody else, will touch somebody else. I have this, this is Gospel according to Mark. So the point is, we walk here, the songs go something like this. I'm walking through this corridor, and we're going through heaven, and I see somebody, and I go, they go, hi, Mark, and I go, who is that? I think Ray Bolts wrote the song. Said, who's that? I said, well, that was the kid that you taught in Sunday school. Oh, I didn't know that. And hi, Mark, who's that? I said, well, that's the lady that you helped across the street, and then you shared the gospel with her. Because you see, we do that and we walk away and we don't know what happens after that. But as long as we are throwing out seed, sowing seed, as I love to say, we are purveyors of God's word, purveyors of God's seed, that as you go along, we will sow seed. If you're serious about serving God, grasp hold that it is God who builds his kingdom. I think they made a dumb mind of this morning. The king and his kingdom. That's what it's all about. It's the king. And we don't get to tell the king what he's got to do. We serve the king in joyousness, knowing that I'm an heir and I'm fully adopted into his family. Live our lives generationally, made for a mission. Generation is passing on the good news to others. That's all it really is. Well, I don't know what to say. Just give them your testimony. Don't spend 20 minutes telling them what a bad person you were and then, okay, then I got saved. No, tell them, I didn't know Christ Jesus. I thought I knew everything. I thought that it was this, and then I got saved. And then tell them 20 minutes about the goodness of God and what God does for you in your life. People are not discipled or matured through good ideas or your status, but only by your relational connection with God. God is a relational God. He wants intimacy with each one of us. God not only sees you, because we may be the only person we see is me and the person I just witnessed to. Excuse me. God not only sees you, he also sees the people that you are able to influence. And that's going to be a big word for us as we get deeper into the sermon. God sees and knows, listen to this, who knows somebody, who knows somebody, who knows somebody, etc., etc., etc. If I was in the king and I'd go, etc., etc., etc. Some of you got that. Others will explain it. Start living lives that are producing after your own kind. Multiply yourselves. You want a mentor? Be a mentor. Well, I need somebody to mentor. Well, then you grab hold of somebody and mentor them. Jesus' style or methodology, and I loved what Michael came and read in John 1 this morning, in verses 16 and 17 or whatever. If you want to be like Jesus, you must do like Jesus. We want to be Christ-like. We want to be in his image. We want to be perfection. We don't have to try hard. If you want to be like Jesus, do like Jesus. That's all it is. It's that simple. When we go along. You know that sometimes, hashtag truth, here's something, people might be confused by what you say. And I want to tell you, that's okay. Why? Because when Jesus went about explaining the kingdom, some of them walked away and said, say what? What did he just say? I don't understand. What the heck was he on about? I don't get it. When he was doing his public ministry, and they would wonder, go away and go, what are the mysteries of the kingdom? And then he would sit down with his 12 disciples and explain the secrets of the kingdom to them. Go and read it. They call parables and the Gospels. He explained, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Oh, okay, Jesus, I get it now. Meanwhile, 500 other people are going around, what's this guy Jesus on about? So take it for yourselves that not everybody's going to understand what you just told them. Scripture is very clear. The people of who are not of the Spirit do not understand the things of the Spirit. So we just got to go and be kind and gracious and loving. God to Jesus, teaching reliable men to teach others. That's what he said. And he carried on. You know, excuse me, on the TV these days, there's so much more. And I know it's for this DNA generational thing. Yeah, you write in and they'll send you a little swab and then send it off to them. And then they'll come back and you thought you were South African and then you find out, well, I'm not, you know, I'm actually Scottish. You know, that happened to my brother. He was doing research. I think I told you this. And we had always been told my great-grandfather was Irish. And so he was like all into the Irish thing. And I'm going, I'm happy just to be South African-Canadian. Let me just put it out there. And he got old. And when he got mad, when I went down and did his wedding, he had a bright green vest on and a bow tie. And he got married on St. Patrick's Day. And woo, he's... And then he started to do this genealogy thing. And he found out my grandfather wasn't Irish at all. He was Scottish. So I go, so what happened to St. Patrick's Day now for your wedding, bud? He says, stop it. You know how brothers can get. But, you know, there's adverts on the TV. And I thought I was, what's the one guy? He thought he was Italian. And then in the evening, then he comes out and he's got a kilt on. And he finds out he was Scottish and... You know, there's a deeper push today to know where we came from and where we've seen it on TV. But it all started somewhere to trace back into your lineage. Here's a thought. I wonder if we just sat down and pondered for a while. Because already somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. We've got to think bigger here, big here. You know, outside the box. Well, what if there was no box? Wonder which apostle or disciple who told reliable men, who told others, who knew somebody, or who knows somebody, who knows somebody, who told you. Well, let me tell you, I'm related to Paul the Apostle. Yeah, that's my DNA. I know somebody would get that carried away, but just think about that for a while. It is reported to have said that Billy Graham had one of the biggest regrets he had in his life. Amazing evangelist par excellence, did amazing work. But his great regret was that he never spent time with smaller groups to multiply themselves, as well as the great crusades. He did not teach reliable men to teach others. It just was his ministry, and that's what he did. The second biblical foundation mandate is to pass it on. We got to pass this on. This is, you know, well, if I feel like it. I've realized there are a lot of things in the Bible that we put at the end in parentheses, if I feel like it, which actually aren't there. The biblical pattern for household and the Passover, which I think by and large we've lost, not because we celebrate Passover, but the biblical pattern of family and Shabbat. And you don't have to do Shabbat because we're not Jewish, but sitting around the table, pass on and speak about the great works of God and what they did. Psalm 145:4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Asaph, one of the great writers of the Psalms, says, give ear, O my people, to my teachings. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. This is good, good news. Parents, when do you sit down at the table with your kids and not in front of the TV with the food on your laps, which is like the best mode of food eating these days? When do you sit down at the table and talk about great things of God and what happened to you today and what testimony have you got today and what did God say to you today and How are we doing? How are we doing as a family? How are we thinking and visioning, and how are we going forward? There's great news of the gospel, the power of testimony, the lessons in life that need to be passed on. If we don't, from parents, pass them on to the kids won't know. That was one of Joshua's greatest problems. He did not think about leadership. Great leader, Joshua. But after Joshua, because he didn't think of leadership planning, says, and they did not know the Lord, and they did everything in their own eyes that would please them. Paraphrased. Everything is meant to multiply itself. You don't believe me? Good place to always go is Genesis. Plants, land, animals, man, a biblical foundation for multiplication. Genesis 1:11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. I think when God says it's good, I think it's good. In creation, God created plants. You see, I'm becoming more Canadian. Plants, land, animals, and man. And he created them, why? For multiplication. It's a biblical foundation of God's heart. The ability to make more like them. Each one was to produce after its own kind and produce and make more. If, as I've said already, step out of the box for me a little while, what box, and think of it this way. God made one tree and filled that tree with the capacity and the seed-bearing capacity to bear every tree that has ever been planted or self-planted. And he did that with the animals, and he did that with man, and he did that with the land. He gave man, one man, the capacity to bear every man that will ever be. Thank you for Adam and Eve. He created seed-bearing seeds that have the capacity to bear billions of seeds, some of them so small that you're going to look at them through a microscope. And we don't even see them and say they're not even there, but they're bearing and they multiply, put it in the ground. If you're feeling distressed today, I have something for you. They try to bury us. You know when people come against you and say ugly and nasty stuff and gossip about you? They tried to bury us. What they didn't know is we were seed. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over the creatures that moved along the ground. Verse 27. So God created mankind in his own mission, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God's first words to mankind was, go forth and multiply. And that was also his last words in Matthew 28. Everything God created and said it is good is meant to multiply. We are meant to multiply physically and spiritually. Into Adam and Eve, and they came and messed it all up, and then all the negativity was multiplied. But then Jesus came. Jesus' mission, another biblical foundation. This is not guesswork. The incarnate Jesus and his discourse in Matthew 5, he reminds the people of a very important message. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. 33 years and 40 days later, Jesus is there with the guys, and after the resurrection, the great ascension on the Mount of Olives, and his last words, Matthew 28, his discourse. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, multiply yourselves of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? He's saying, take a piece of you and pass it on. I've taught you, not talking about me, Holy Spirit, God's taught us, take what we have, pass it on to reliable, teach reliable people who will teach others. Go and live an active, continual as you go along. That's what Matthew 28 is all about. Paul appears to his spiritual son sitting in prison. Paul's in prison. He doesn't go, oh, these are my last days. I don't want to do. They're going to go and execute me and they're going to cut my head off. Oh, this is so bad. Calls Timothy. He says, son, listen to me. Listen carefully. Don't allow this glorious life, this life-giving message, this powerful gospel of grace to end with you and me. Pass it on. Send it on to others. Multiply yourselves. Pass it on to reliable men who will teach others, who know somebody, who knows somebody, who knows somebody. I think it's brilliant, actually, considering it's the word. Hebrews 5:12. The writer says, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Come on, guys, you should be past this. At your stage of life, you're still being fed with milk. You should by now, haven't you started multiplying yourself? Sadly, over the years, too many times I've come to Christians and said, well, how long have you been saved? Well, I've been saved for 30 years. Praise God, well done. Can you just go and lead that person to the Lord? Well, I don't know how to do that. What? Be somebody who tells others, who tells others, who tells others. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I repent of all my sins. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your son dying on the tree. I commit my life to you. It's that simple. But we want to know that if we use a very spiritual prayer, it'll work better than that one. And it won't, because it's a heart issue. Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying, blah, 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 it carries on. We need to move on to the real game. And if I could say it once again, family, this is not the real game. This is, the referee blew the whistle, and we're having oranges and nourishment now. We're getting a halftime and we're getting a little pep talk and some, wow, I didn't know that. Good. Now let's go play the game. The game is out there. Here we can practice with the game. Here we can test. Well, Lord, I need a word of knowledge for somebody today. Lord, give me a prophetic word for somebody today. Not like I'm coming to church. I hope someone's got a prophetic word for me. We need to move on to the real game. We need to, well, what was the doctrine of laying on of hands, of touch and speak, blessing over the person? Excuse me. What it all is all that is in me, I pass on to you for your welfare and blessing. That's what it's all about. Our relational plan of the gods for us to train, to teach, to pass on, to encourage, to uplift. That's what the Christian life is all about. All that I have, I pass on to you, touch. Remember, Paul said, when I laid hands on you, and the gift that came, all that I touched and laid hands on you. That's what came. And then he says to them, all that is in me, I speak over you. Now, we don't go around, bless you, bless you, bless you, but it is a godly blessing to people, hearing words of commendation and encouragement. Paul, Timothy, reliable men, others. In closing, how can we accomplish this? Multiply yourself by being an influencer. Another biblical foundation. We get to influence people. And I've got a number of ways, just as a takeaway, not a check off your list. But we have to learn that you can impact somebody from a distance, but you will really influence them when you're up close. I went a couple of years with a couple of guys, and I went down and I saw Jethro Tull. And I was in like the eighth row from the front. Great, great seats. I mean, I could almost see the wrinkles in his face. Some of the young people are going, who is Jethro Tull? I'll explain to you afterwards. And I was so excited. And I was so impacted by his talent and his gift and all that. Could you imagine how he would influence me if I got to talk to him afterwards, have a cup of coffee with him or whatever afterwards? Got real close up. How many of you have ever been to a basketball game or a football game or a hockey game where some real star is there and you sit there and you cheer them? Man, they are so skilled. Look how well they're playing. Look what they're doing. And then you have the opportunity to go meet them afterwards. Now you just go from gaga to and you can't even speak. You know, because you like meeting your sporting hero. That's called being influenced. And we, for the kingdom, want to influence others. So number one, we've got to have integrity and trust with people. Speak the truth. Not white lies. No such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. I'll just talk about a little lie. No, there's no such thing as little lies. It's either a lie or it's not a lie. It's the truth. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guards them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. 1 Peter 3:16. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. That's a cool piece of scripture. Because why? It's like John Wayne Michael said, you don't have to do anything. God will take care of it. Live my life that is an example to others around me. People will want to follow and imitate and do and say, touch and speak. Parents, don't tell as much as do. I don't know about some of you, maybe my age and I don't know, around about there. We grew up and it was, don't do as I do as I tell you to do. And we were like, yes, Dad. There was no argument. But I think there's an age group where that's appropriate. But then you get to the little bit older. I'm not talking like teenagers, because if you don't get it right before teenagers, you're in trouble. Explain to them. Sit down and talk to them. Imitate your faith. Let them look at you and go, yeah, I want to have a faith like my dad or my mom. I want to pray like my dad or my mom. I want to worship Jesus like my dad or my mom. I want to read the word. I want to drive my car like dad or mom. We have to model an example to them as parents. The second thing we have to do is we have to nurture people. We have to nurture them. Nurture means give care and attention that we give to another. That's what nurture means. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. We were gentle among you like a nursing mother. This is the rough, tough Apostle Paul. Like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves because you had become very dear to us. Yeah, well, Paul, he used to go around killing people and now he's like, you've become dear to me. I just want to love you and care for you. Do you think his life was changed? You think salvation was real? Number three, have faith in people. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot do or see. New Living Testament. Having faith in people, speak things over them that they don't see in themselves. Not as they are, but as they are seen through the lenses of faith, through God's lens, through Jesus' lens, through Holy Spirit's lens. Romans 4:17 says, for as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. Call the things that are not in people's lives as if they are, is what the scripture is telling us. Encourage them. I see a champion in you. You are great. Well, I don't feel great. No, but I don't care what you feel like. I see that in God with you. And I want to say to this whole line of all these young people to you, I see you guys and girls as young lions. And I want to encourage you, it's time you got your roar on. I want to tell you guys, these are word and knowledge in these young men and women, sorry. Amy, where's your buds today? They abandoned you. But I'm telling you, these are young lions. They're young people. What do they know? Sit down and have a conversation with them. You'll be surprised what they know. John won't mind if I tell you the story. What the first equip we had, it wasn't the first one, it was a couple of years ago. John was about 12 or 13. Maybe it was a GTT we were having. Now, let me just say, I know when you're sitting doing Facebook and Snapchat and all that nonsense on your phones while I'm preaching, it's rude, but there you go. But John was sitting, because he didn't even have a phone of his own, he was sitting with Michael's phone and he was sitting, and Tyrone was preaching. And he's sitting going like this. And of course, Mama Bear is going, Michael, tell him to stop that. Because I'm sitting next to her. And Michael's, so I look across and I see this all going down. So afterwards, because sometimes we can't just leave things alone, she goes, John, what were you doing? You playing on the phone? She's, no, Ma, I was taking notes. At 11 or 12, however old he was using words that I don't think some of us here understand in English. I was like, then they came and showed me, look what John was doing. I'm like, yeah, wow. Okay, I'll have to go look up some of those words. We talk about being a three-generational church. We got to live that stuff. We want them to be prophesying and bringing words of knowledge and leading worship and having a mosh pit in here. And if some of you people get afraid of this, I don't care if they come and stage dive. Because if I want to do it, they got to catch me. Just saying. We just got to express ourselves openly in worship. So I'm just saying again to you, young guys and girls, you got to get your roar on. I commission you this morning. Measure yourself by God, not by what other people say. Okay, where am I? Number four. Listen to people. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brother. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Hot tip. We have two ears, one mouth, which means listen two times more than we speak. I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. A guy called Brian C. McGill says, one of the most sincere forms of respect is to actually listen to what another has to say. Listening is a gift. Cultivate it. Practice it. Number five, understand people. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Husbands and wives, particularly, children and parents, listen to one another. Listen to what makes you cry, what makes them cry, and what makes them sing and be joyous. Number six, enlarge people. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. See the significance in their lives. We had a bunch of young men and women like this in our church one year. Well, no, a lot of years. Rephrase. And so some of them came and said when they heard I was going on, Kira and I were taking a team into Mozambique and then into Zimbabwe. And so they said, hey, can we come with you? So we get out there, so we organize it. A bunch of them come, school vacation time. They come up, they range between 15 and 18 years old. So we get out there, and Kia being Kia says to me, can any of these guys preach? I said, yeah, that one and that one probably could do God. Okay, he says, tell them they've got 10 minutes and then they're going to preach. Any parents, adults up for that one? And the only I can say is because Kia did it to me too. We were, I was like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to say. Just say whatever is on your heart. So we told the one guy, Darren. So Darren, 10 minutes you're going to preach. He went like this. Okay. I said, what are you doing, dude? He says, I'm preventing a panic attack. And then they preached. And they did an amazing job. And the crowd went crazy and people got saved. You know, some people think that a pastor's work is like, no, no, Mark, you're working now, like from 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock. Ooh, 2 hours a day. And some of you, your lives are like that, and people think, oh, it's so easy. Oh, Bridget's so easy. She just goes out and meets the people. It's many, many, many years of practice. You're not what you don't understand. You say, because it looks so easy. You know what you don't know? It's like ducks on water. You ever seen ducks on the water? And they're swimming along, they're just gliding across the water. Oh, look how gracious those ducks are. What you don't see are these two little skinny web feet underneath going. They're paddling for all their might to look like they're. And that's what it's like. I'm paddling for all my might. Well, Mark, you just get up and do it. No, you don't know my life. I'm actually over here, so I don't have a panic attack. Why? Because this is important. So don't tell me, well, you can do it, and you're the pastor, you're supposed to. No, I'm supposed to train you to go and do it, and we've just done 7 weeks of that. So get your little skinny legs under the water, paddling, and you'll just glide, and everybody go, oh, aren't they amazing? And you'll go, thank you, Jesus, yes, I am. My heart is to enlarge you today that you can go and be a world changer, a huge influencer in other people's lives. I want you to go out, and not for me, not for the church, not for the other elders, but for the King of Kings. Be an influencer in your neighborhood. Don't let it ever be said of you, I don't even know my neighbor's name. If that be true of you today, go and change that today. Little legs paddling, gliding. Hello, we brought you cookies. Oh, they're such nice people. But inside you're quaking, I know. Little legs paddling. You want to be a good leader? Be a great follower. You can set the thermometer and not reveal the thermostat. Number 7, navigate with people. Navigate with people. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you for your youth, but are you guys paying attention? But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Roar! That's what I'm expecting. 1 Peter 5:3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being example to the flock. Oh, I shouldn't have done that with my throat. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. Don't be telling people how to run their lives, because that will normally get you into trouble. I'm just saying. You can go ahead and do it, but I'm just saying. The point I'm making is don't navigate for people, navigate with people. I know if you're a fixer kind of person, well, I have this one. Okay, let me tell you. Go and do 7 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, bye. And then it all falls apart, and you know what's going to happen? Yeah. You told me to do this, and it didn't work, and it failed, and now it's your fault. So, no. Let me navigate this with you. Because you're the primary responsible party, not me. I want to give you wisdom. I want to encourage you. And that goes for all of us together. Some people have no, young people, sorry guys, so that was the good side for you, have no clue to do a whole lot of adult stuff. Well, they don't know because they're young still. I mean, I know some of you thought that at 21 you knew everything. Hot tip, you didn't. They don't know how do you manage your time? It's called a calendar. Oh. How do we not be late? It's called an alarm clock. Oh. Go past Pinterest, Twitter, WhatsApp, Snapchat. I don't know what else there is. Crush, Angry Birds, and you'll get there. Number eight, connect with people. Philippians 2, 1 to 4. So if there be any encouragement in Christ and any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, says Paul, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Yeah, but if I do this, it'll make me look good. Yeah, that's a problem. Do not set all conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look, not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's why I love so much the initiative that Dom came up with to go and help Hart and Giselle and to mow their garden for them. It means community is not only looking for our own interests, we're looking for interests of others. Well done. And those who signed up to help as well. Best way to connect with people is go to their world. Well, I want the young people to come and do what I'm doing. They don't want to. Why? They don't understand your world. I don't know, we can like try and be cool and go to their world. At least we're making the effort. Jesus went out and sat in the boat with a bunch of stinky fishermen. If any of you ever been fishing, you don't smell good, especially when you catch. Those fish are smelly. I love fishing, by the way, just so you do know. I can wash the smell off. He had lunch with tax collectors. Jesus with the tax collector. Religious spirits. Two more. Number nine, empower people. Romans 10, 14. How then do they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet to those who preach the good news. Tell somebody who told somebody else who told somebody else who told somebody else. That's all we have to do. Watch me as I do it. I'll do it with you. We do it and I'm with them. They go and do it. And then someone else is with them. That's what it's all about. And the last one, reproduce yourself. Or multiply yourself, but you'll see why I use the word reproduce. Matthew 28, 18. Go along and do. MFM, made for mission. God is very particular about stuff. Not everything goes with God. God's not like, well, whatever you want, I'm just all accepting. God's not like that. Because he's judge and he's just the same. He cannot lie. He can't say in his word it's like this and then you, oh no, okay, well that's all right, just do whatever you want. These are just helpful things. The last one, influencer, is an acrostic for integrity, nurture, faith, listen, understand, enlarge, navigate, connect, empower, reproduce. That's the whole point of this whole thing. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let us go and be influencers for the kingdom. Influence others that will come across our path. I just want to pray over us this morning as a commissioning word for you. That we would take the 7 weeks. And if you miss something, you can go online, you can listen to it online. But I just want us to get this into our hearts. Father, every facet we've reached of made for mission, Lord. Lord God, I just want to stand together and we commission ourselves once again to go out and to be influencers in people's lives, Lord. Father, we don't want to just impact them from afar, but we want to influence them from close up. So God, we pray this coming week that you would give us opportunities into the weeks and the months and the years ahead, Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would fill our mouths with the right words, the right testimony, the right word of encouragement, even if it's just one word, Jesus. And Lord God, that we would see your kingdom come. God, that we would enlarge ourselves in obedience to you, Lord. Father God, that we would pass it on, that we would entrust to reliable men and women to pass it on to others, that we would be that somebody in that chain of events, Lord. That people would come to know you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, as mighty God, Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.